Men and Women Servants of God. By Randolph Dunn. Chapter 1. Deacons. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. 1 Tim 3:8-13. Comment. A. Deacons, from the Greek word diakonos, which is gender neutral, verses 8. B. Women, from the Greek word gynaikos, meaning a woman of any age, whether a virgin, or married, or a widow or wife depending on context, from Strong's. Verses 11. C. The word there was added by the translator since it is not in the Greek text. By adding there to the English translation, the meaning was changed from women servants, diakonos, to wives of men servants. Verses 11. D. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, excludes polygamists and men who put away a wife without a certificate of divorcement, consequently they are still married to the put-away wife. Here deacon is from the Greek word diakonos, nominative singular masculine pervines. Verses 12. Comment, unfortunately, the word deacon represented a position or office in the Church of England. If the Greek word had been translated as servant, there would be less confusion. Comment, all Christians are priests to serve God. Thus, all are diakonos, servants, man and woman, performing the same type of functions God commanded Adam and Eve to do, but spiritual rather than physical. Such as, obey, if you love me, you will keep my command, and to Adam and Eve, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Work, as you see an opportunity, do good, tend the garden. Reproduce, plant the gospel seed as it is the power of salvation, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Since these diakonos have similar character traits and qualifications as shepherds, their work must be closely related. Christ's church is compared to our physical body, it also has many working parts performing different functions. If these church body parts do not function, the church body is in a weakened condition. It will wither and die. The work of men having character traits similar to shepherds is not specified, so any understanding is an interpretation or opinion. The following is quoted from a lesson by Joe McKinney. In certain context, the term diakonos takes on additional specific meaning and significance when it refers to a group of servants with unique spiritual qualifications, as in 1 Timothy 3, where it was transliterated as deacon. In a sense, this was a helpful practice, since it calls attention that certain Christians are chosen to do a special service, probably assisting the overseeing watchman in their spiritual function. While we do have a certain conviction about the work of Christians having these special qualifications, we should never be so dogmatic to think that this is the last word on the subject. We must keep in mind certain biblical truths about the body of Christ so that any interpretation will be consistent with these truths. Since their qualifications of character and experience are already proven, it is reasonable to assume they assist the elders in their spiritual work of taking care of the spiritual needs of the church, especially those needs that are urgent. Deacons are not junior elders, although their work would be similar to some work the shepherds perform, and the experience could be good training for these men to one day may desire or aspire to the function of guardian, watchman, or sentinel. The body of Christ, a living, growing and battling kingdom, a living organism, has many dynamic needs that are constantly changing. Problems arise, needs appear, emergencies occur, someone gets sick, another loses his job, families have squabbles, parents have problems with children, people die and families must be consoled, important ministries need to be developed. Not all the needs in a church are dynamic, but many are, and, at times, they are unforeseeable or even emergencies. When these needs appear, they must be met, and met right now. Who is going to meet these needs of the church? Who will serve? Who are the servants of the church? Consider that during the first century, whenever a Christian failed to assemble, all were concerned. Did the Roman authorities arrest him for his faith? Did a sect of the Jews do physical harm to him? If so, it would have been appropriate for the Christian family, or their watchman, to ask a brother living in close proximity to go by and check on his well-being and supply any missing need. All Christians are servants. All are called to serve. The church can call on anyone to meet a need, to serve. It depends on the situation. For example, in the area of finances, the church ought to choose someone with a good knowledge of accounting, who is trustworthy and has the integrity and honesty necessary to do that job. But is it really necessary for that person to be married with children in order to be the treasurer of the church? Does that person have these spiritual qualifications? Any Christian can serve and should serve in some area, independently of the special qualifications. He just needs to be qualified to do that particular job. But all Christians, man or woman, should and can serve in some area. Now, when dynamic needs arise, that is, when emergencies occur, normally, there is neither time nor opportunity to research the talents and investigate the character of the brethren in order to discover who can serve that particular need at that moment. The church needs a group of servants, already spiritually qualified, proven and identified, who are available to be called upon to assist the shepherds/elders/watchmen in unforeseen situations where the need is of an emergency nature and must be handled immediately. End quote from Joe McKinney. The diakonosis qualifications given above include being husband of one wife and managing his children and household well. Cannot apply to all diakonosis, as all Christian men and women are diakono servants. Therefore, the function of men with these qualifications must be different from other men or women diakonosis. Some people infer that the seven selected by the Jerusalem Church in Acts to take care of the Grecian widows' needs were deacons. But they are not referred to as diakonos, nor are their qualifications given, nor is it known if all the seven met the character traits in 1 Timothy. Many today consider the work of elders as men over spiritual matters, while deacons are men over physical matters. This appears to be an incorrect understanding, for by doing so, the work of all other members of the body, man or woman, is grossly restricted. In fact, if elders do the spiritual and deacons perform the physical, there is no work left for non-deacon servants. But this cannot be the case for Peter writing to the exiles of the dispersion states in 1 Peter 4 verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. The word each includes men or women with and without the special qualifications. If each does not include women, then Paul was in error by stating in Romans 16 verse 1 that Phoebe was a diakonon, a servant. The contemporary concept that deacons take care of the physical needs of the congregation, such as upkeep on the building and grounds, is not derived from New Testament practice, since there is no record in the New Testament of any assembly of Christians owning or maintaining physical facilities. The church's needs during the period of persecution were people needs, not property or things. This is true today, as the church is people, not property. Men mentioned by name. Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Acts 4 verses 36-37. So, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. Acts 11 verses 25-26. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Acts 13 verses 1-3. Sometime later Paul, Saul, said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Acts 15 verses 36 to 40. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Call 4:10. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. Philemon 23-24. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. 2 Tim 4:9-12. We came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Acts 16 verses 1-3. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Acts 18 verse 5. He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. Acts 19 verse 22. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church, 1 Cor 4:16-17. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Phil 2:19-22. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. 2 Cor 7:6-7. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. 2 Cor 8:23. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. Acts 6 verses 1-6. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. Acts 6 verses 8-10. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Acts 8 verses 3-6. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Acts 9:10, 17-19. During this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. Acts 11:27-28. Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." Acts 21:8-11. They, Paul and Barnabas, had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Acts 15:39-41. To Philemon our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia our sister, to Archippus our fellow soldier and to the church that meets in your home, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Philemon 1:3-5. I appeal to you, Philemon, for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Philemon 10:11. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Col 4:10. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Col 4:12-14. Chapter 2. Women servants, diakonos. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26-28. God is not partial. Acts 10:34, all are priests to serve God. Revelation 5:10. The Greek word diakonos is a gender-neutral, either male or female. The Latin word for diakonos is minister, while the English word is servant. Diakonos or its variants occur 28 times in the New Testament, one of which refers to Phoebe, a female servant, diakonon, and twice as deacon in Philippians 1:1 and 1 Timothy 3:8-13 and Rom 16:1. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. 1 Cor 12:27-29. God through Paul set forth character traits for the shepherding function. Following the character or qualifications of these men, Paul discusses character traits, qualifications of servants who apparently help in this important work of the overseers, watchmen, guardians, sentinels. Functions by other members of the body are just as important, necessary, essential, and indispensable whether performed by man or woman. Women identified by name. In the New Testament, several women are identified by name, while inclusive words such as all, each, everyone, include men and women. By examining activities of God's diakonos, one should be able to determine if there are any functions Christian women are required to do or are prohibited from doing. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds. About 3 hours his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord?" Acts 5:1-2, 7-9. Comment: Sapphira and Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, an intentional sin. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which, translated, means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. Acts 9 verse 36. Comment, Tabitha, Dorcas, helped the poor by doing good and charitable works. An activity done outside the assembly. He, Peter, went to the house of Mary, the mother of John whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Acts 12 verse 12. Comment, Mary used her house for saints to come together. In this case the gathering was for the purpose of praying for safety of all Christians but especially for Peter, as a short time earlier Herod beheaded James. And after she, Lydia, was baptized she urged us saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Acts 16 verse 15. Comment, Lydia used her possessions to take care of the needs of Paul and those accompanying him. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. Now these Jews, men and women, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. Acts 17:4, 11-12, 34. Comment, Damaris believed. She was perhaps a prominent Athenian woman as she was in attendance at the Areopagus when Paul spoke. After this Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, as recorded in the Old Testament, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Acts 18 verses 1-2, 24-26. Comment, they, Aquila and his wife Priscilla, taught Apollos not just Aquila. On the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters, who prophesied. Acts 21 verses 8-9. Comment, Philip's daughters prophesied. From 1 Corinthians 14 verse 21 we learn that prophesies are for believers. There is no indication that they prophesied only to women or only when not assembled. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant in the church in Cenchreae. Romans 16 verse 1. Comment, some Bibles transliterate diaconon as deaconess. But every person, male or female, in Christ is a servant, diakono, in the body of Christ as well as priests to serve God. The Bible is silent about the type of service Phoebe rendered. All we know is she served. We also know she did not meet the unique qualifications for the work of servants having a wife translated as deacons in 1 Timothy 3 verse 12. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaenetus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Eunia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Romans 16 verses 3-7. Comment, we do not know what work Mary performed. However, we know she was not lazy as she worked hard. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 19. Comment, Priscilla and Aquila's home was open for Christians to assemble. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women, who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement. Philippians 4 verses 2-3. Comment: these women were apparently from Philippi. They helped Paul in teaching the gospel. They did more than just being present to remove any appearance of impropriety. They taught the gospel as they labored with Paul and Clement. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Comment: they passed their faith on to their family. To Philemon our beloved fellow worker and Apphia our sister and Archippus our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Philemon 1-2. Comment: Apphia, a Christian woman known to Paul and Philemon. Women by inclusive words, all, each and everyone. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Acts 2 verse 41. Comment: those who received his word include men and women. The disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. Acts 11 verse 29. Comment: everyone includes women, so women helped in determining. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Acts 15 verse 22. Comment: the whole church includes women. Therefore, women participated in choosing. So, when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Acts 15 verses 30-31. Comment: the congregation included women who heard and rejoiced. Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. Acts 24 verse 23. Comment: friends included men and women who attended to Paul's needs. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Romans 2 verses 9-11. Comment: every human makes no distinction between men and women who do good or evil. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God, through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 verses 26-29. Comment: a son had a legal right to a father's inheritance. But, as many of you who were baptized included women. Then women in Christ acquired the right of inheritance. Paul then mentions that those in Christ are one. No one in Christ is a second-class Christian, for all are servants and priests to serve God. 1 Peter 2 verse 16 and Revelation 1 verse 6. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. 1 Peter 5 verse 13. Comment: she could either be a Christian woman or an assembly of Christians, don't know. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. 2 John 1 verse 1. Comment: the elect lady could either be a Christian woman or an assembly of Christians, don't know. The terms all, each and every includes women. Therefore, women are to participate for the body of Christ to function as a united body, otherwise part of the body is considered a drag on the body or dead. Women's activity and attitude. So, whether you, male or female, eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head, Christ. But every woman praying or prophesying, neither prohibited, with her head unveiled dishonoreth her head, for it is one and the same thing as if she were shaven. For if a woman is not veiled, let her also be shorn, but if it is a shame to a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be veiled. 1 Corinthians 10:31, 11:6. Comment. Always seek the other person's well-being, 10:24. Whatever you do, glorify God, 10:31. Men and women, do not dishonor your head, 11:4. Do not treat the financial poor Christian as inferior, 11:21. Don't consider your spiritual gift more important, 12. Love is most important, it lasts forever. 12:31-13:13. Encourage, respect, honor one another and especially those. Having responsibility for your well-being, avoid confusion, 14. Comment, give no offense to Jews or to Greeks, means do not be the cause of a Christian brother or sister to lose faith by ignoring their customs and traditions. Comment, tradition, from the Greek word paradosius meaning substance of the teaching. Thayers. Comment, prophesying, from the Greek word prophetuo meaning foretelling future events pertaining to the kingdom of God or to utter forth, declare, a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. Thayers. Comment, every man, from the Greek word andros meaning either man or husband depending on contacts. Comment, every woman, from the Greek word gynaikos meaning either woman or wife. Comment, shorn or shaven, women who had their hair shorn indicated punishment of whoredom, or adultery. Adam Clark. Comment, Paul is reminding the Corinthians that respect and honor is of utmost importance, probably more than custom when praying or prophesying. The custom of the time was for men to remove their head covering in the presence of a superior and for women not to be seen in public without a head covering. So, was the head covering an act of righteousness or a custom of respect and honor? A husband could divorce his wife for such disrespect, not having her head covered. Paul's condemnation appears to be the dishonoring of God by a man who does not remove his head covering and by a woman dishonoring the man responsible for her well-being, husband, father or eldest brother, by not having her head covered by a veil. Both violate tradition and custom of respect in their society, or legal rights possibly imply acceptance of pagan practices. This does not prohibit either men or women from praying or prophesying. But one's freedom and liberty in Christ must never result in or lead to disrespect of others. A wife ought, under obligation, to have a symbol of authority, power, on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord woman is not independent of man nor man of woman, for as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair it is a disgrace for him, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 10-16. Comment, the actions of a woman who disrespects her husband, her head, is not proper. Comment, during the times before and after Christ when Rome ruled the world, most women were considered under the authority or power of men. For married women the veil covering their hair, 1, signified her marital status, 2, her submission to the husband's status as head, 3, an indication of modesty and purity and 4, protected her from men's solicitations. Women without a veil were considered rebellious, often prostitutes with hair cut short, shorn or shaven heads. Customs in one culture are not binding as law in other cultures. Today in some areas of the world, e.g., India, women wear symbols of their marital status. After a Hindu marriage is consummated, the wife is never supposed to leave her arms bare. She must always wear bangles to signify that she is married. Comment, the veil, Greek pala, was the symbol of a married woman, and in their culture a mark of husband's authority. Comment, Those in Christ, not independent of, suggest not superior or inferior but equal in value to God and needed in His kingdom. Equal in Christ does not alter God's directive that the man has the responsibility for the family unit and that the woman by creation was his helper and companion, not his servant. Any action she does that is against the teachings of Christ and his apostles or against local customs such that the community consider her actions out of place, she dishonors her husband and does not promote the cause of Christ. Comment: daily activities must display respect and honor which promotes unity in all relationships, whether in the family, community, workplace, government or church, whether assembled or not. Everyone in Christ, man or woman, has equal spiritual status before God. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, one a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, two or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up, encouragement. If any, man or woman, speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, in sequence, and let someone, man or woman, interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them, man or woman, keep silent in church, the assembled body of Christ, and speak to himself, not gender-specific, and to God. Let two or three prophets, not gender-specific, speak, and let the others, not gender-specific, weigh three what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion but of peace. As in all the congregations or assemblies of the saints, the women, your women meaning, wife, KJV, NKJV, YLT, should keep silent in the churches, ecclesiais, assemblies. For they are not permitted to speak, for but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands, Andres, any male person, a man, at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 26-36. Comment: the Christians in Corinth were assembled together as Christ's body, where they sang, taught, didachin, gave revelations, and spoke in other languages through interpreters. The purpose of assembling together was to encourage Christians to remain faithful and do good works. Speakers, men or women, who were not able to be understood because an interpreter was not present, were to keep quiet. Chaos and confusion caused by all at the same time praying, speaking, or singing would cause visitors to think you are out of your mind and prevent God's message from being heard. Allowing everyone to speak or sing in succession, one following another, is respectful to God and one's fellow man. Comment: two or three prophets speak. A prophet is a male or female through whom God speaks. From Thayer's Greek Lexicon. Comment: while still on the subject of maintaining orderliness, Paul instructs the Corinthian women to keep silent and not interrupt their, idios, one's own, husband, but wait and ask him when they get home. Paul's instructions would not apply to Christian women whose husbands were pagans, dead or had abandoned them. The key is to respect their husband who was teaching and to respect others, men, women or visitors. So, the law probably refers to synagogue rules or traditions. Comment: when assembled together, all Christians are to participate in an orderly manner while respecting others, not all speaking at the same time creating confusion and chaos. Women are not to question or challenge comments of the man responsible for their well-being, whether their husbands, father or brother, or display a disrespectful attitude, especially toward any man. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Colossians 3 verses 12 and 16. Comment: the chosen ones include women and men. Both are to teach and admonish in wisdom and knowledge. The instruction is silent as to whether this is to be done in private or assembly. The text states the teaching and admonishing is done in song in the heart unto God. But teaching and admonishing one another requires one to speak from their heart, whether written word or spoken. Opinions of a few commentaries. Albert Barnes notes. They were not to teach the people, nor were they to interrupt those who were speaking, Rosenmuller. It is probable that, on pretense of being inspired, the women had assumed the office of public teachers. Comment: they held to the didactic teaching method of lecturing/sermonizing. Adam Clark commentary. There was a Jewish ordinance, note the statement, as the law also says, women were not permitted to teach in the assemblies, or even to ask questions. The rabbis taught that a woman should know nothing but the use of her distaff, a tool used in spinning, and the sayings of Rabbi Eliezer, as delivered, Bamidbar Rabba, Sector 9, Folios 204, are both worthy of remark and of execration. They are these: let the words of the law be burned, rather than that they should be delivered to women. Roy C. Deaver. The meeting in 1 Corinthians 14 verses 26-40 was for the purpose of exercising and receiving the benefits of spiritual gifts. Prophets were exercising their gift of prophecy. The prophets' wives were instructed to keep silent in the churches. They were not permitted to speak, break their silence. They were to be in subjection. If they would learn anything, with regard to the message coming through the husband/prophet, they were not to interrupt the prophecy, but were to wait and ask their husbands at home. It was shameful for the woman, wife, to speak in that meeting. From Contending for the Faith, October 1995, page 2, Guy N. Woods, Questions and Answers Open Forum, Freed Hardeman College, Henderson, Tennessee, 1976, pages 106-109. Guy N. Woods. Who were the women required to keep silent in the passage under study, 1 Corinthians 14 verses 34 and 35? They were the wives of the prophets considered in the foregoing paragraph, his comments on previous verses. Forbidden to interrupt, or to make inquiry, during the process of revelation, the apostle laid down the very sensible rule that they should wait a more opportune occasion to propound the question, i.e., until they were able to ask their husbands at home. These women were married, they had husbands, their husbands were capable of answering their inquiries at home. From Contending for the Faith, October/1995, page 10, from Roy C. Deaver, The Role of Women, Wellington, Texas, copyright, no date, pages 13-15. Others. In world in the early days of the Roman Republic, women were not even allowed to make suggestions, but by the beginning of the empire many men were seeking and even following the advice of their wives. It was all right to do so, provided the advice was given in private. The Athenians' men considered women not much better than property. Power rests with the strongest. Chapter 3. Servants, in general. Teachers. For though by this time you, man or woman, ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5 verses 12-14. The common theme throughout the New Testament is to proclaim the gospel to the lost. First-century evangelists performed the function of teaching the gospel to the lost according to Acts 8 verse 4. The Christians, man and woman, who were scattered from Jerusalem proclaimed the word wherever they went. Those mentioned in verse 4, went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. Acts 20 verses 5-8. Comment: the Greek word dialegomai, translated talked, mistranslated as preached in the KJV, means to converse, discourse, argue or discuss. So, Paul did not preach a pulpit sermon but discussed the results God gave from his proclaiming Christ. Today, preachers primarily present their interpretation of some biblical subject of their choosing to those in Christ without any opportunity for questioning or discussing. However, some preachers teach directly from the Bible by directing their thoughts to the passage under consideration. There is no mention of proclaiming the gospel, Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, again to those already in Christ, the saved. God relies on Christians within his kingdom to teach and proclaim the gospel so that none perish and all remain faithful as a living sacrifice. The mission of the living body of Christ, men and women, is to A. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, Mark 16 verse 15. B. Do good to all people, especially to believers, Galatians 6 verses 9 to 10. C. Encourage, edify, members of the body, 1 Corinthians 14. D. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns, Ephesians 5 verse 19. E. Offer your bodies to God as living sacrifices, Romans 12 verse 1. The most effective method of evangelizing is on an individual basis. It would be rare if conversions occurred from mass communications, a method used to create awareness and to provide a source for obtaining additional information. If the gospel is to be preached to the entire world, then congregations of Christians must place more emphasis on evangelism regardless of the English name associated with the activity, e.g., teacher, minister, missionary, evangelist, preacher, servant, pastor, elder, watchman or disciple, but using Bible names will prevent confusion. What is to be taught? O Gospel, Mark 15 verse 16. O power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 verse 16. O death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. O Word, Acts 13 verses 1 to 5. O Apostles' Doctrine, Acts. O everything I commanded, Matt 28:19. Who is to teach? O evangelists, 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. O disciples, Mark 15 verse 16. O Christians scattered abroad, Acts 8 verse 4. How is the teaching to be done? O no particular method is to be excluded, nor is any specific method required. To whom is God's message to be taught? O all creation, Mark 15 verse 16. When are his servants to teach? O teach as the opportunity becomes available. Where are those in Christ to take the gospel? O wherever they went. Acts 8 verse 4. O where and when a person is interested. Acts 13 verse 7. O when assembled together. Acts 20 verse 7. O in foreign countries, Acts 13 verses 2 to 3. O all the world, Mark 16 verse 15. In the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Greek didaskaloi Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manin, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Acts 13 verses 1 to 2. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God 18 and know his will and approve what is excellent, because you are instructed from the law, 19 and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, 20 an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, 21 you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? Romans 2 verses 17 to 22. Comment. Instructor, from the Greek word paideteen meaning one who instructs another. Comment, teacher, from the Greek word didaskalos, didaskon or didaskes meaning one who instructs. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. James 3 verses 1 to 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, Greek pleonexia, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. 2 Peter 2 verses 1 to 3. Comment, False teacher, from the Greek pseudodidaskaloi, with pseudo meaning false and didaskaloi meaning or teacher. Comment: greed generally refers to an unsatisfied desire for more money but can also include an inordinate desire for power or prestige. And in the church God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? 1 Corinthians 12 verses 28 to 30. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle, I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. 1 Timothy 2 verses 5 to 7. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. 2 Timothy 1 verses 10 to 12. Comment: herald, or preach, is from the Greek word kyrex. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel, instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. 2 Timothy 2 verses 24-26. Christians should be involved in teaching in some manner, Hebrews 5 verse 11. One of the requirements for shepherds, guardians or sentinels, from the Greek word episkopes, is to be skillful in communicating, so they can exhort and rebuke those God has assigned to their care. Shepherds who pass their teaching function to a paid professional does not appear to be a biblical concept. According to Ephesians 4 verse 12, shepherds are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, diaconia, for building up the body of Christ. Examples of some servants' actions. So, every Christian is a servant performing a work necessary to keep the body of Christ vibrant. Therefore, the following scriptures provide a few examples of their actions. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The fellowship of the believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Acts 2 verses 36-45. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Acts 8 verses 1-4. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 11 verses 19 to 21. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Acts 11 verses 27 to 30. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. He, Herod, proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. For and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. He, Peter, went to the house of Mary, the mother of John whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Acts 12 verses 3-6. 13-15. He, Paul, was accompanied by Sopater son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. 5. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. 6. But we sailed from Philippi after the feast of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Acts 20 verses 4-8. After 3 months we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so, we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. Acts 28 verses 11-16. Warning to all Christians. Peter issued a warning to all Christians: there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed for money, power, control, or prestige, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. 2 Peter 2 verses 1-3. Comment: the prevention of false teaching can be obtained by a better knowledge and understanding of the teachings of Christ and the apostles. Another possibility of a false teaching can come from preacher whose personal opinions and interpretations are unknown by not having been fully disclosed before hiring, a hireling, a wolf in sheep's clothing. See 2 Timothy 4 verses 3-5. The Holy Spirit through the Apostle John in Revelation 2 and 3 warned the Christians in 6 churches in Asia to repent, change their ways, as they had fallen away or were gradually falling away from Christ.